The only thing that the devil has on you is your sin.
Listen to Chapel Services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org.
But your sin, every last bit of it, is died for by Jesus, covered with his blood, forgiven at his word.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's obvious to everyone, even people who do not generally tend to be critics of the sexual revolution, that we live in a highly sexualized society. It goes from through every strata. The book, in a lot of ways, is not just being rewritten, it's being tossed out the window entirely, so to speak. Now, this isn't the first time this has happened. Society, especially Western society, has swung back and forth like a pendulum on the issue of sexual permissiveness and all those kinds of things as a civilization. What's different about this particular end of the pendulum swing for us today? Joining us to talk about reclaiming sexual virtue on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 4th, Pastor Held Sinkbeil. He's Executive Director for Spiritual Care for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. He's author of an article in the recent Lutheran Witness magazine titled Love Among the Ruins. Pastor Sinkbeil, welcome back.
Great to be with you, Todd.
What's different about our particular time in the history of civilization where the pendulum has swung toward a society that's more highly sexualized as ours is?
Well, certainly, as you mentioned, pendulum has been swinging all the time back and forth, and ours is not the first era that has a lot of depravity in it. But I think we've kind of changed the whole picture of things collectively as a society. So, for example, although same-sex relationships have been around since the very beginning, the reality is that no society ever before us has ever considered calling this a marriage, apart from maybe one or two instances of a particular aberrance here and there. But collectively, that's never been proposed. And now suddenly, you know, within comparatively a brief period of time, this is sweeping the entire West. The other thing is, I think, never before have we considered sexual identity to be a social construct. That, by that I mean that individuals determine their own gender, as the term goes, choosing it for themselves, even picking their own pronouns and how they want to be seen by other people. In other words, divorcing their sexuality from basic biology, that's never been undertaken before.
You use the term, and it sounds quaint perhaps to ears that have been thoroughly awash in the sexual revolution for an entire lifetime, but you use the term depravity. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think this is the basic biological function of human anatomy is designed in a certain way, and so when parts of the body are used for personal pleasure apart from their intended use, which is dictated by physiology, we move into the area of depravity. In other words, giving full license, free rein to inclinations to do whatever feels good, as the old-timers used to say back in the 60s. But we have that kind of in spades these days.
It puts me in mind of Paul in his letter to the Romans, where he even will kind of put this in a larger framework, where man rebels against God, refuses to acknowledge God, and then God gives them over to a depraved mind. Is that part of what you're describing?
Right. I think included in the term depraved is something that God intended for good, that God designed good and pleasing, and is used instead for purposes contrary to their intended use, and strictly for self-gratification apart from the procreation of the human race.
When we talk about reclaiming sexual virtue, what's the goal there? What's what are we really describing here? There's an awful lot of discussion nowadays about virtue and Christian virtue, but what's the big picture here in mind when we're talking about reclaiming sexual virtue as Christians in this culture?
Right. Well, I think, you know, first of all, the term virtue is not what we mean there, is not really what people commonly refer to as values. It's not as though I'm adopting a certain set of standards for myself or achieving a certain level of moral achievement, but rather it's living within the virtue of Christ, that I, having been baptized into him, I put on Christ, and I live a life that coincides with my identity in him, and not out of my own selfish desires, but out of the life that I have through my union with him by holy baptism. So sexual virtue would be living as a man or a woman, as God made me, and being baptized into Christ, therefore putting down my selfish inclinations, daily drowning my old Adam, so that by repentance and faith, the new man emerges and arises to live in righteousness and purity, which God gives me through faith in Jesus. So that means that as a man or a woman, I live faithfully as God intended me to, abstinent apart from marriage and faithful within it. That, to me, is what sexual virtue means.
What role does, and here we're kind of talking about the perhaps the prophetic stance or voice of both Christians and the church corporately in society, what role does our attitude and our ideas about marriage play in all of this, Pastor Sinkbile?
Well, our own attitude is going to determine how we're going to be acting. So if we see marriage as God's gift, if we see even basic fundamental sexuality as God's gift, you know, God made me, has given me my body and soul, my eyes, ears, and all my members, we say in the catechism, that means every part of my body. And so my body is intended for God's glory, and rather than using my body as an instrument for selfish pleasure or for my personal gratification, I use it for the benefit of God and my neighbor. And that's true, by the way, as a single person as well. Not being sexually active doesn't mean that I'm somehow repressing my natural inclinations, but rather I'm using them and directing them for the glory of God and the benefit of my neighbor.
Pastor Hal Sinkbile is our guest. He's Executive Director for Spiritual Care for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counseling. He's authored an article in a recent Lutheran Witness magazine titled Love Among the Ruins. We're talking about reclaiming sexual virtue. It's Wednesday afternoon, February the 4th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about reclaiming sexual virtue in a sexually permissive society. Pastor Harold Sinkbeil is our guest, Executive Director for Spiritual Care for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Pastor Sinkbeil, tell us a little bit about Doxology's national conference. It's coming up this summer at St. Louis University.
Right. Be happy to. Yeah, we're invited everyone to come to St. Louis August 12 and 13. That's a Wednesday, Thursday, for what Doxology calls an Insight Conference. Those are two-day conferences for everyone, professional church workers and laity. We're inviting them to bring Christian friends of other denominations as well. And the title of this one is Finding Our Voice, Sex, Marriage, and the Christian Vision. So we're going to be exploring kind of the basic understanding, the scriptural view of who we are as men and women, and what marriage really is and is not, and how, more importantly, and probably most importantly, how each of us in our own vocations, be that as parent or grandparent, or as a pastor or a teacher or a deaconess, how we can really teach and promote and actually model healthy sexuality and attitudes toward marriage, and to be a force for good so that we can speak positively and joyfully about our convictions in the climate that we live in.
Folks, this conference, Finding Our Voice, Sex, Marriage, and the Christian Vision, will feature All Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Matt Harrison, Dr. John Kleinig, Sharif Girgis, along with Pastor Harold Sinkbeil, Beverly Yonke, Alvin Schmidt, Lucas Woodford, Timothy Gagline, and Adrian Hines, all regular Issues Etc. guests. You can find out more about Finding Our Voice, Sex, Marriage, and the Christian Vision August 12th and 13th at St. Louis University under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. So let's talk about what we do today, to the ideas we need to put firmly in our minds and then in our public proclamations to regain this sexual virtue we've been talking about. Where do we begin?
I think we begin by saying we recognize that sex is God's gift to us. We are created male and female in the image of God, and that all the parts of our body, as I mentioned earlier, are God's gifts to us to be used for His honor and glory and the benefit of our neighbor. And that means abstinence apart from marriage and faithfulness within it. So that's our basic fundamental outlook, if you will. From that, Bob follows certain things. The reality is because we're fallen, sinful people, we don't always live as God's people, and we live according to our selfish nature, and we sin every day. So we always need to turn in repentance to our Lord Jesus, remembering that His blood ransoms and redeems us from all sin, including sexual sin. We find our wholeness and our innocence and our righteousness always in Him. So that means we need to find healthy spiritual care within our church and from our pastor so that God's word and sacrament might have its way with us. Then positively, I think we need to exhibit and demonstrate to those around us, be that in our family, our community, at work, wherever we are, that we are God's own people. And if you will, we kind of march to a different drummer. We don't live like other people do. But that's not because we're prudes or down on God's gifts to us, or that we're somehow want to isolate ourselves from the world. We want to be a positive force and a force for good within society, As Jesus said, we're leaven, and we're intended to bring life to the world, to let our light so shine. So the whole thrust, I think, should be one of confidence and joy. Even though these are radically shifting times, we have a very positive message to bring to those around us and to a watching world.
And this happens not only in our public voice, but in our, I guess we could say, for lack of a better word, Pastor Sinkbell, our private lives, our home lives, around not just, you know, on the front porch or in the public square, but around the hearth, so to speak. Talk
exactly.
about that.
Exactly. And that's where it begins. My wife and I raised three wonderful children who are now grown up and have children of their own. And our concern is that for this next generation, that they growing up in a world so radically different than what used to be even a decade ago, that they can see a glorious vision of what it means to be a boy or a girl, and to live out their life of vocation as a male or a female in a healthy way, in a very, frankly, a very sick environment. So that needs to be modeled. It needs to be taught. And I think Pastor Woodford yesterday had some great things to say about that. That's available, I think, by podcast for any parents who are wanting to know about that. And I think so much is absorbed from entertainment industry, from the values that we see reflected in our neighbors. So basically, then we need to teach our children, you know, we're not living like other people do, because we've been baptized into Jesus, and we put on Jesus by faith in him. So we're called to purity, even though other people might not live like that. And this is a healthy way to live. It's a God-pleasing way to live. It's a joyful way to live. And it's a fulfilling way to live.
So all said, we have it sounds like, if you can put it in one sentence, perhaps what we are saying to society and to all its inhabitants is the church not only has can receive and teach about marriage and sexuality as a divine gift, but there is a better way than the way that has been forged for us, it's urged upon us by the sexual revolution.
Right. Selfish indulgence leads only to further degradation. And I think the statistics in terms of the decline of the family, the rise of people growing up in a rootless society without any a father or mother to guide and direct them, to protect them, the consequences are very severe, and we're beginning to pay a pretty high rate of interest, if you will, because we haven't invested in these fundamental things in our society. So there's a very practical benefit to this as well, and I think that's part of our message we need to craft for our neighbors. These things are not just biblically mandated, but these things are good for our society and really essential for the benefit and the common good of our world.
Finally, with only about a minute here, we talked here about sexual virtue, and the actual, you know, kind of bare bones meaning of virtue is strength. It's not, as you said at the beginning, not primarily one of values first, but it is one of strength. Why is that important for the church to realize as it presents this very countercultural idea on human sexuality?
We live in the world, but not of it. And we are, as I said, lights in this dark world, called to let our lights shine. The virtue which we reflect to the world around us is that which belongs, first of all, to Jesus and his holy bride, the church. We live within that calling, and we have a very positive message to bring to people as we live in hope and in joy in a world that's really filled with a lot of depression and hopelessness. There's confidence in Christ. There's a purpose and a direction to which we're headed. And we have a Lord who's promised he will not leave us nor forsake us. So even though we might be oppressed by people around us, despised by our friends, we could even be persecuted, we know that our Lord Jesus has said to us, be faithful, and I will be with you.
Pastor Harold Sinkbile is Executive Director for Spiritual Care for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. He's authored an article in the recent Lutheran Witness magazine titled Love Among the Ruins. Hal, thank you very much for being our guest.
Great to be with you, Todd. Blessings to you guys.
One of those places where the sexual revolution seeks to snare as many as possible is the campus of the college and the university. Kids go there for a good purpose, to get a good education, to prepare for life and career ahead of them, but often waiting for them in the classroom and elsewhere. Not just the temptations of being a young adult, but these ideas of the sexual revolution that have been woven into academia. Now, those kids sitting there in that classroom need help, and they need to be connected to solid Lutheran, solid biblical churches, pastors, and resources. That's exactly what LCMSU does. It is the branch of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod concerned with your college and university-aged kids. You can find out more about it at lcms.org/LCMSU. In hour two of Issues Etc., Pastor Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting will join us. We'll talk about hipster churches.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal.